When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
High in the air toward deep left field. No doubt about this one. Over the picnic area. It's gone. The sixth home run of the year for David Wright.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Let's do a show, shall we? 4:02, very good Sunday morning to you, New York City. It's Mike Fliegelman with you, Fleegs on the Fan, for the next 3 hours. 888-808-1019, the phone number to call. Get involved in the show. We've got Rami Lavie on the other side of the glass. And I know a lot of Mets fans are probably not going to like this, coming off of a big win, and it was a very good win, but I was just talking to Al about it off the air. He even was shocked to hear this from me, somebody who's been maybe not in the level of extreme Mets positivity, but preaching, stay with this team all year. My biggest thought while watching this game on Saturday afternoon was something that's kind of been eating away at me. Every time you enjoy a win for the last few weeks, every time you see something positive from this Mets team, is that I think we have to stop overrating this Mets team, and I think the Mets still have to let the market dictate what they do at the trade deadline. There's been so much talk about, should this team buy, should they sell, should they do a little bit of both? And in the last couple of weeks, it seems like the sentiment regarding the Mets from fans, from the people who cover the team, from the broadcasters, that it's now shifted completely to buy. And not only are they going to buy, but we're debating how aggressively they are going to buy. Pump the brakes. This is a team that is in contention for a wild card spot, the second or the third. You tell me a week from now they go on another run, they win the next two from the Marlins, split or sweep with the Yankees, and then win the first couple of games against the Braves, and they're jockeying for that first wild card. Okay, we can have that conversation then. But where we sit now, 9 days before the trade deadline, this is still a team that has to be open to trading the guy who Mets fans fell further in love with on Saturday afternoon, and that's Luis Severino. That was a great outing from Sevy against the Marlins. And I don't care about how bad the Marlins are. I don't care how many times they've been shut out. Don't care about how awful their offense is. Severino, coming off of the long break with the All-Star break, hasn't maybe been the same pitcher in the last 2 weeks, gave you a dominant outing. At the one gut check point of the game where Carlos Mendoza comes out to the mound, Severino said after the game he didn't think it was a mound visit for a pitching change, but still, manager comes out to the mound. There's at least a chance that he's putting his arm up and waving to the bullpen and calling for somebody to come in and relieve you. Mendoza keeps Severino in. Severino gets the job done. Mets go on to win the game, and it was a great job from the bullpen. Buto, Nunez, Diaz. Mets scored just enough, this one run in a game that had loss written all over it. They found a way to win. But as Severino is going through this Marlins lineup, and on SNY, they're talking about how Severino hasn't pitched this much since 2018. And I know time has felt warped for most, if not all of us, since COVID. And sometimes when I hear 2018, I'm like, yeah, 3 years ago, whatever. Oh, no, that's 6 years ago. This is a pitcher who hasn't thrown this much in over half a decade. The Mets are already talking about monitoring his innings, which could be aided a little bit by the return of Kodai Senga, which should either be next week or the week after. But still, it's something that's concerning for a guy who you're looking at to be your best or second best starting pitcher in a push for a playoff spot. As I'm sitting and watching this game Saturday, it's the thought I've had for a while now. I'm not saying you have to 100% trade Luis Severino, but in a market that is shaping up to be a seller's market because not a whole lot of teams are going to sell. This would even be a different conversation if baseball did what they should have done when they got rid of the waivers deadline and pushed the trade deadline back. Trade deadline shouldn't be July 30th. It should be August 7th, August 8th, somewhere in that range. It's not. It's next week. And you have teams like the Baltimore Orioles who are fighting tooth and nail with the Yankees for the AL East crown, the Cleveland Guardians, the Boston Red Sox, who are trying to get a wild card spot. That's just in the American League. There are teams who are desperate for starting pitching help. If I'm David Stearns and I'm Steve Cohen, I have to be open to another team's desperation becoming stupidity. And if someone offers me something they shouldn't for 2 months of Luis Severino, and honestly, you could even throw Quintana or Minaya into that mix. As much as I would like to chase a wild card and see what happens in the postseason and see if you can be like last year's Diamondbacks or 2022's Phillies or 2019's Washington Nationals, who, yeah, there was only one wild card, but they parlayed that all the way into a World Series title. As much as I want to do that, my main goal remains what it was before the start of this season, and that's set the New York Mets up for sustained winning. The Mets farm system and overall health of the organization is infinitely better than it was when Steve Cohen took over at the end of the 2020 season. There's still room to improve. I have to open myself to the possibility that if a team like the Orioles, let's use them as the example, that if they can't trade for a Mason Miller because they deem the price way too high, so they look more at starters, and they can't get a Garrett Crochet because the White Sox want something absurd for him. They can't get Scooble from the Tigers because the Tigers say, hey, we don't need to trade this guy. We're going to ask for the moon and the stars. There is a chance, a good chance, that Severino is either the best or second best, I would say at worst, third best starting pitcher, even rumored to be on the market. If one of those teams gets desperate, and yeah, the Dodgers have major pitching needs with all the injuries they've dealt with, I don't know how inclined the Mets would be to trade Severino inside the National League. I would do it if the offer was right. But focusing on a team like the Orioles, we all know, we've heard for years how great their farm system is. We've seen the results. We've seen the kind of young players that organization keeps churning out. What if they feel a little bit of a push? We have to hold off the Yankees. We have to make a run in this postseason. Right now, their rotation is about two deep. They've lost Kyle Bradish. John Means hurt again. Corbin Burns is an ace, one of the best pitchers in baseball. Grayson Rodriguez, terrific. After that, whole lot of question marks. They want to hold off the Yankees for the division. They want to be able to line up against the Yankees and beat them in a postseason series. And we saw last weekend what could happen to the Orioles in the games that are not started by a guy named Corbin Burns. They're not so far ahead of the Yankees where you'd feel super confident. They might look at a guy like Severino and say, okay, this is our best bet to have a guy who can give us five or six innings, three or fewer runs in a postseason game, and our offense does the rest. If you're the Mets and the Orioles with four or five guys inside MLB's top 100 prospects, if the White Sox, if the Tigers are asking for, you know, two of those guys plus two more pieces, whatever it is, if you can get one A-level prospect, A-minus, B-plus for a Severino, as much as I want to push for the wild card, and yes, see what happens, and play the glass half full game where Senga's coming back, and the Mets could, and I even think in this situation, in this scenario, would add pieces to the bullpen. I have to keep in mind that the glass is also half empty. What are the Mets doing if Pete Alonso never turns his season around? And there have been very few signs to think that he could turn his season around. What if Severino, pitching more than he has in the last 6 years, what if he starts to slide? What if any of these guys gets hurt? The Mets don't have a ton of depth anywhere. Starling Marte is hurt, and right now, Mets fans are seeing DJ Stewart to the point where I was watching this game on Saturday. DJ Stewart has entered that weird territory of, I feel uncomfortable or strange when the guy does something good, because as happy as you are that it helped your team, you're thinking, oh, now he's around for another 2 to 3 weeks. A 170 hitter as we approach the end of July, who's not a good fielder. The Mets have been what I thought they were going to be overall, which was a team slightly over 500. Before the year, I thought 84 wins, and they just miss out on the playoffs because a couple teams in the National League will do better than that in the wild card race. And that still looks to be about where they would be wins-wise. Maybe 84, 85 gets you in. But we've seen them hit both extremes. The 0-5 start. Then climbing all the way back. A peak of 12-8. At the end of the Dodgers series, where they're 11 games under 500. And then when they split with the D-backs, still under 11 games under 500. The lowest of lows. To the highs they've reached now. This is a team that is 3 games over 500. When they reached the 100-game mark on Tuesday in the first game against the Yankees, they're guaranteed to be, even if the next 3 days take a bad turn, 500, 100 games in. A month and a half ago, people would have signed for that. But we know, for all of the good they're capable of some pretty terrible baseball as well. Francisco Lindor, Brandon Nimmo have been excellent. What if they just have a 2-week slump, which is normal for a baseball player? What happens to the offense then? Alvarez, Vientos, young guys can go through slumps. Right now, you can't count on a Pete Alonso to ever turn his season around this year and say, hey, he's going to give you that 2-week stretch where he carries a team. I have not seen one single sign of that. Not going to be delusional about it. J.D. Martinez is a guy who, not last year, but in 2 years before that, his production dipped significantly in the second half. Older player. What if it happens to him? Yes, the ceiling for the Mets right now, when they play their best baseball and with getting Senga back, make a couple moves at the deadline, sure, their ceiling, everything goes right. That could be a team that has the pieces to make a run in October. If it goes wrong, they could be on the outside looking in. And I don't want to be sitting here filled with regret in early October that the Mets either did one of two things. One would be nightmare scenario. Second one, we'll do that first. Second one will just be bad. The nightmare scenario would be that they gave up big-time assets for rental players and didn't make the postseason. Unmitigated disaster. The one that's just bad is if they're on the outside looking in come October. Severino's a free agent. Quintana's a free agent. Manaea's a free agent. They're all still Mets. It wasn't good enough to make the wild card. And you didn't get anything in return for those guys. I cannot take that risk if the offer is good enough. That's why the Mets still have to sit there, have all their meetings, decide this is the length we're comfortable, or the extent we're comfortable buying. This is the extent we're comfortable selling, but remain open. As much as I understand, Steve Cohen, after what happened last year, wanting to make the postseason, and this is a business, there will be a lot more people in the seats August and September if the Mets are winning and if they go for it. I'll be at more games if they had pieces and they go for it. As much as I might think it's the wrong move for the future, of course, you're going to be more intrigued in the present if they go for it. But there was a long-term vision put in place that is so close to coming to pass. A goal that Steve Cohen had even before David Stearns got here when he took over this team almost 4 years ago. You are so close to hitting that level of what this team could be. Good at the major league level, competing for a playoff spot, World Series every single year with a healthy minor league system that is churning out more players for you at every level of the roster, top players, depth arms, everything, and giving you pieces to trade away every time you think you need to go reload and go add something in the offseason or at the trade deadline, what the Dodgers had been doing. What the Yankees could have done if Brian Cashman would ever willingly part with a player in his minor league system who anybody outside of the Yankees organization thought was good. What the Phillies have been doing in recent years. what the Astros have done for so long. That is still the goal. It is the top priority. Making the playoffs this year would be terrific. It's a goal. It's not the end game. Don't lose sight of what the overall vision is for this organization. I still think you can do both. You can add a couple pieces. We'll go through in the next couple hours how. Have some ideas there of how they can use Steve Cohen's money and shore up this roster a little bit and give it a chance. But I'm definitely not aggressively buying. You know, the talk I hear calls working here 5-6 days a week, Tanner Scott, that would be next level stupid for the Mets. Not that he's not a really good pitcher, just doesn't make any sense for them. And I have to leave myself open that if we hit July 30th and the Orioles or the Guardians or the Red Sox strike out on just about everybody else, that they call up the Mets and offer something they shouldn't. There's a top 50 prospect in that offer who is too valuable to give up for a Luis Severino. As much as it would pain in the here and now, I have to make that trade. 888-808-1019. Get it going here with the Mets and their plans at the deadline. We'll, of course, talk Yankees and their ugly Saturday afternoon. A lot of deadline talk for them as well. How aggressive they have to be, specific targets they have to go after. I have a bunch of names of guys who I think both teams should be targeting. Plenty of options. So Brian Cashman, no excuse. David Stearns, even though I think you have to be open to selling, no excuse for you guys not to go get out and get some of the names on this list. We'll get into all of that. And if you noticed, if you paid attention, of course, I just did a Mets Open and I mentioned the guy's name and how poor he's been performing, but I did not mention him in the context of selling. And of course, that's been one of the hot button topics, Pete Alonso. We will talk about how insane I think it is right now for the Mets to be entertaining the idea of trading Pete Alonso. If you're confused, hey, you just said the Mets should sell a Severino, a Quintana, a Minaya. You don't get why Pete, to me, almost completely off the board. I'll explain it when we come back. 888-808-1019. It's Fleegs on the Fan. Coming back with your calls on the Mets and their plans at the deadline next. It's Fleegs on the Fan.